Thanks to the AI boom, tech giants are pouring billions into chips like GPUs. This propelled Nvidia to the top, briefly ranking as the most valuable company in the world. But what about AMD? Like Nvidia, they've been designing semiconductors, and more specifically, GPUs for quite some time. They should be dominating, right? But they aren't. In fact, their shares have recently plunged. From early 2024 to early 2025, their shares dropped by half, erasing almost $200 billion in market cap. So, what's going on? How is a GPU company failing during the AI hype? What is happening to AMD? To answer this, we need to take a look back. In the 2000s, AMD was in a fierce battle with Intel. Both of these companies produced CPUs, central processing units, and had gone back and forth as the market leader. But now, Intel was pulling well ahead. They had their own factories to produce CPUs at a lower cost and at a higher volume than AMD, who relied on global foundries. They had also secured great partnerships with giant customers like Dell and HP, but there was something much more sinister going on. Reportedly, Intel paid their customers billions behind the scenes to not use AMD. Intel at the time was making much, much more money than AMD and had the cash to try and crush AMD completely. Lawsuits from AMD aimed at Intel ensued, arguing anti-competitive practices. The Japan Fair Trade Commission had found that Intel was indeed paying such rebates to five major Japanese computer makers, presumably Sony, Toshiba, NEC, Hitachi, and Fujitsu. Though the companies are unnamed in the public version of the JFTC order, and that the rebates violated Japanese competition law. In its suit, AMD alleges that Intel has been paying manufacturers so-called first dollar rebates, meaning that at the end of the quarter, if the customer has achieved the level of exclusivity Intel seeks, it will get a retroactive discount on every Intel processor it purchased that quarter. Yet, there was another major issue. Both companies realized a growing part of the PC market was in another technology, GPUs. GPUs were critical for complicated computing involving graphics like video games. Though not comparable to standalone GPUs, Intel was using integrated graphics with their CPUs, so they had something, while AMD only made CPUs. AMD needed to do something. They were barely profitable and losing ground. So AMD made a gamble. They bought the Canadian GPU maker ATI for $5.4 billion. In a press release, AMD said, "In this increasingly diverse x86 computing environment, simply adding more CPU cores to a baseline architecture will not be enough. Modular processor designs leveraging both CPU and GPU compute capabilities will be essential in meeting the requirements of computing in 2008 and beyond." This would give them an in into this growing market, but most people were skeptical. This was money that AMD didn't have, and as a result, almost all that money came from debt. In mid-2007, their total debt was about as much as their total revenue that year, and things didn't improve. They made a $2.8 billion loss in 2007 as their computing solutions business fell 12%, even with new graphics products from ATI. Reportedly, reasons included a price war with Intel. Even though AMD was shipping more units, its average selling prices were falling. Then, in 2008, they lost another $2.3 billion. Even then, the ATI acquisition didn't work as intended. They were having trouble merging the companies, and lawsuits against Intel were a massive distraction. It also appeared that they overpaid for ATI, which was having its own problems, including delay of graphics products and their most important customer, Motorola, giving them less business. By 2010, AMD dropped the ATI brand altogether. Things were bad. Even though they had technically won in court against Intel with a $1.25 billion settlement, they were still in a bad spot. But luckily, someone came to the rescue. Enter Lisa Su.
This was an opportunity for me. It was actually my dream job to run a semiconductor company. And many people would say, well, why would you want to do that?
It's what every little girl wants.
Yeah, that's right.
Su was an engineer with deep academic and field experience.
a bachelor's, master's, and PhD in engineering, all from MIT.
I spend a lot of time in school.
So. And when you find something you like, you stick with it, huh?
That's right. Yeah.
She had a vast amount of experience with semiconductors and chips, coming from Freescale Semiconductor, IBM, and Texas Instruments. Sue was made the senior vice president and general manager in 2012, and soon was appointed to CEO, largely because everyone above her dropped out. She had a lot of experience, but also a massive challenge. She had to get AMD back on track. Luckily, she had an answer. In truth, even before she was made CEO, she was already working to save the company. You see, AMD was stagnant, yet also extremely narrow, the PC market, but that market wasn't growing. In 2011, PC shipments only grew by 0.5%. Then they began to decrease. In 2013, shipments declined by over 10%. AMD was pigeonholed into a market that was going down, but it didn't have to be this way. CPUs and more recently GPUs were their business, and both of those categories, and for that matter semiconductors, have a huge spread of industries. This was Lisa's plan. She began meeting with leaders at Microsoft and Sony. Her focus was diversifying the company, expanding from the PC market into growing industries, namely consoles. Through her relationships, she secured AMD as the backbone of the new generation of consoles, the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4. Each would have custom AMD chips. This was the 8th console generation, and the industry was booming as it had been for a while. To date, the Xbox One has shipped about 58 million units. Impressive, except when compared to the PlayStation 4, which shipped over 117 million units. All of them are powered by AMD chips. In fact, with how many PS4s have been sold, you could argue Sony saved AMD from bankruptcy. When Lisa Su joined in 2012, just 10% of AMD sales came from non-PC markets, but in just 3 years, that climbed to 40%. This was a monumental success. AMD was making more profit and was much more stable, but in reality, this was just the beginning of AMD's comeback. With some momentum behind them, it was time for AMD to take back ground in their home market, computer CPUs. In 2017, AMD launched their next biggest brand, Ryzen, CPUs with high performance, high thread counts, and unbeatable value for the dollar. In just a few months, AMD CPU market share surged and Intel's began to decline. AMD had tighter profit margins, but it was a price they were willing to pay to beat Intel, who at this point were starting to panic. They were facing huge delays with their new 10-nanometer chips, which was supposed to launch in 2016 but pushed as far back as 2019. To add salt to Intel's wound, while they were struggling to produce 10-nanometer chips, AMD had introduced 7-nanometer chips. Though, I will note that they each measure their process sizes slightly differently, so it's not an apples-to-apples comparison, but a key reason for this was manufacturing. Their in-house chip production had provided better products and better profits in the past, but now it was hurting them. AMD, however, had moved from GlobalFoundries to TSMC in 2018, who were far further ahead in producing 7-nanometer chips. AMD, for the first time in decades, was beating Intel. Lisa Su had done it, and there was more than just Ryzen. AMD had also cemented itself as a cheaper yet still great alternative to Nvidia in GPUs with extremely good value for money. She had also pulled back AMD from fields that were just costing money.
At the time, you know, mobile was a very, very exciting field, but it wasn't what we were fundamentally good at. And so we really focused on our core. And I know that sounds simple, but actually it takes a long time to build a sustainable product roadmap.
In November 2012, AMD share price was as low as $2. But by that time of year in 2020, it had climbed to $92. Lisa Su had spent years directing AMD's focus and investments into the future, which were now paying off big time.
What's the process of making those bets? Who do you have around you that's helping you to make those decisions that this is the next big market for our products?
You know, what's really important in our world is really getting close to the people who are doing the engineering. Mm-hmm. So I'm an engineer at heart, and I actually spend quite a bit of time with our chief engineers and architects to understand where they think the future is going.
Mm-hmm. Everything was going great, or was it? Lisa Su had made these early bets and they worked, at least for the medium term, but not the long term. As it turns out, while AMD was making a CPU and a PC comeback, Nvidia was putting their focus somewhere very different. Lisa Su is one of the most powerful women in tech, but with a simple Google search, you can find her home address, personal email, and phone number. And it's not just Lisa. You can look up almost anyone's personal info online, including yours. And that's why I'm excited about today's sponsor, Incogni. Incogni is a personal data removal service that automatically reaches out to data brokers, those sketchy companies that collect and sell your personal info, and gets your data taken down. After someone used my credit card to run a bunch of Facebook ads, I went down a rabbit hole trying to clean things up. I found dozens of sketchy people search sites that had my name, old addresses, even emails I forgot existed. But getting off those lists was a nightmare. Every site had a different process if they let you opt out at all. Incogni makes the whole process easy, handling the requests, the follow-ups, and even pushing back when data brokers resist. And if your data shows up later, they'll remove it again, which is what makes the annual plan so worth it. These brokers fuel everything from robocalls to phishing scams to identity theft. It's one of those things you intend to take care of yourself, but realistically, never will. If you want to take back your privacy, check out Incogni at the link below. It supports the channel, and if you use code LOGICALLYANSWERED, you get a 60% discount. Thank you to Incogni for supporting our videos. While Nvidia was involved in gaming and general computing, unlike Intel and AMD who were in a great battle over PCs, Nvidia was deeply focused elsewhere. Research. And it wasn't for the short term or even the medium term. It was for the distant future. You see, they had been working towards one goal for a long time, for decades even, generative learning. And the first step for this was as far back as 2006, even if Nvidia didn't realize it. GPUs are extraordinarily powerful, but also highly complex. They can perform an unbelievable amount of math, but the problem was using them, or rather, building software that could take advantage of that power. So Nvidia released CUDA, or Compute Unified Device Architecture. Essentially, a powerful API for their GPUs, CUDA allowed users to build code in languages like C++ or Python to leverage Nvidia's GPUs, but this was for non-graphics tasks. CUDA made it vastly more accessible for engineers, researchers, and scientists to leverage GPU acceleration. Because CUDA was made so early and had consistent, unwavering support in the field of research, it became the default. Nvidia became the preferred GPU provider, not just because their GPUs were good, but because of the ecosystem around them. So, how does this play into AI? Well, let me answer that with one crucial example, the annual ImageNet Challenge. This was an AI competition where researchers tried to build the best image recognition model by viewing millions of images across thousands of categories. Most teams entered with large amounts of CPUs to power their neural networks, except one. In 2012, Alex Krizevsky, a PhD student at the University of Toronto, entered, but his model was a little bit different. Alex was using GPUs, or rather, just two NVIDIA GTX 580s, and he won by a landslide. This was one of the most pivotal points for AI, and showed the world that the future was not through CPUs, but GPUs. But this was only possible thanks to CUDA. The model was later refined and named AlexNet, and Alex's later research startup was eventually acquired by Google. But as for NVIDIA, they began to pour more and more resources into preparing for AI. While AMD was winning the war of CPUs, NVIDIA was still building AI architecture, still banking on this future idea. In NVIDIA's 2016 report, they stated, "Deep learning breakthroughs have sparked the AI revolution. Progress is exponential. Adoption is exponential. The impact to the tech industry and society will also be exponential." Keep in mind, this is many years before ChatGPT, and OpenAI was only founded a matter of months ago. At this time, NVIDIA was already releasing AI and deep learning designed GPUs, like the Tesla P100 series with Pascal architecture. Then, the following year, NVIDIA released the Tesla V100 along with Volta architecture, which could perform calculations 12 times faster than Pascal. These advancements in machine learning continued year after year. AI wasn't even in the mind of the public yet, or anyone really.
Has created the world's AI infrastructure.
This brings us back to AMD and their investments, which were going elsewhere. At the start of the AI boom, AMD did see a massive jump. The revenue skyrocketed from $9.7 billion in 2020 to $23 billion in 2022. But then things get interesting. Their revenue dropped the following year, and their profits show something even more alarming. 2021 was their most profitable year in history at $3.7 billion, but things take a nosedive back down to $1.2 billion the following year. I think this is when researchers came to the big realization. AMD wasn't the answer for AI. NVIDIA was the far, far better choice. Their GPUs were good, but the software support just wasn't there. Their Radeon GPUs were used in some machine learning, but had nothing like CUDA. By the time AI began to show its real potential, researchers began investing into GPUs and lots of them. When looking at AMD, Intel, and NVIDIA, one of them was the clear choice. Not only for the physical chips, but also the architecture and many, many years of prior research. If something has become the standard for progress, it's very hard to disrupt the status quo. Things continue to drop for AMD, with profits falling again to only $600 million in 2023. To be fair, they had invested in cloud computing and data centers, but not so much in machine learning. Lisa Su, after saving AMD, now had an even bigger challenge ahead. AMD needed to catch up. But how? AMD went into AI overdrive. In early 2022, AMD acquired Xilinx. Lisa Su said that AMD will be able to increase its breadth in key markets like data centers where Xilinx has a strong network and AI presence. But this wasn't just any acquisition. Xilinx cost AMD $50 billion, and AMD didn't have $50 billion lying around. Was this going to be a repeat of the ATI situation? Was their debt going to skyrocket? Well, instead, they performed a stock transaction, where Xilinx shareholders received millions of AMD shares. But this naturally wasn't good for their current investors. This was also right before AMD's profits began to plummet. Investor confidence sank and their share price, which was as high as 143 at the end of 2021, tumbled all the way to 84 by August 2022. But AMD marched on. On October 10th, AMD announced they had acquired Nod AI, an open source AI provider. AMD, in a press release, stated the acquisition would significantly enhance AMD's ability to provide customers with software that allows them to easily deploy highly performant AI models tuned for AMD hardware. We don't know how much they paid for Nod AI, but the reason was clear. AMD was trying to catch up to CUDA. Then, on November 15th, they announced their next big move, the MI300 series. Data center accelerators, which used AMD's new architecture, CDNA3, which had just launched. GPUs specifically designed for AI workloads. These were their chips to rival NVIDIA, and already, it seemed like things were turning around. They secured customers like Microsoft, Dell, and Meta who would use the MI300 series for AI training. Su commented, "We are seeing very strong demand for our new Instinct MI300 GPUs, which are the highest performance accelerators in the world for generative AI. We are also building significant momentum for our data center AI solutions with the largest cloud companies, the industry's top server providers, and the most innovative AI startups." AMD was pouring billions and billions into AI, new chips, new architecture, and all kinds of acquisitions and investments. A lot of big moves, but what actually came of it? Unfortunately, things didn't go as AMD hoped for. The MI300 series was expected to generate $8 billion, but pretty soon that was dropped to $5 billion. It still wasn't quite as good as NVIDIA. In late 2024, AMD hosted a massive event called Advancing AI 2024, but the reception was mixed and analysts called it largely uneventful. We see additional downsides as we now believe its AI GPU roadmap is less competitive than we previously thought. Hence, we believe AMD wouldn't be able to penetrate the AI GPU market as much as we had earlier anticipated. AMD is desperately trying to catch Nvidia, but also their own investors' expectations. Analyst Rick Schaefer said, "We applaud the progress AMD has made with MI Instinct, growing a roughly $4 billion AI franchise from nothing in just 12 months. But Schaefer also said, "Unfortunately, investor expectations have remained persistently out of reach. AMD had a good focus for the short term, but it wasn't amazing for the long term, and it's hard to blame them. They spent so long getting out of the red that by the time AI actually hit, they had to play catch-up. In the middle of their past challenges, they lacked profit margins or the capital to pour into early AI infrastructure. Nvidia, however, was preparing the technology long before the market was ready for it. Can AMD possibly catch them? Well, they're certainly trying to, but I'm not so sure. Lisa Su is a great leader, but it seems she's in the same situation now as she was over 10 years ago, trying to improve a difficult situation. Ironically, Intel is in an even worse position than AMD, having bet $100 billion on making their own chips, which has largely backfired. Check out this video to learn more, but until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.